Often quoted in the New Testament, Christ often quoted from the book of Isaiah, and particularly the last half of Isaiah. What a tremendous blessing that it holds for us as New Testament believers, and it even tells us much of what the ministry of Christ would be. The passage that we're going to look at tonight tells us about the ministry of Christ in His first coming, and there's interesting things that we learn in the book of Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ in His first coming. That, matter of fact, some things that aren't even in the New Testament. For instance, we know that when Christ was beaten, that His beard was plucked out. But how do we know that? Because it's not in the New Testament. It doesn't say that in the New Testament. But it says that in Isaiah, and that's where we understand some of the things that He learned. And so there's rich truth here. We want to look at a part of that this evening. Verse 4, again, this is speaking. And it says there, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as a learned. You know, we all like to talk at one time or another. Some people like to talk more than others, but even if we are maybe a little more of an introvert, there's still times when we like to talk. It's interesting, I ran across these statistics, and I don't know how old they are, but according to statisticians, the average person spends at least one-fifth of his life talking. Ordinarily, in a single day, enough words are used to fill a 50-page book, and in 1 year's time, the average person's words will fill 132 books, each containing 400 pages. So maybe if you want to get rich, just write books, all the words that you say, and write books and sell them, and make lots of money. Somebody else put it this way, the average person spends at least 13 years of his life talking. On a normal day, something like 18,000 words are likely to be used, roughly equivalent to a book of 54 pages, while in the course of a single year, his words would fill 66 books containing 800 pages. So either way, you're writing a lot of books with the words that you speak every day and every year. But some of our words are more valuable than others. But how well do we know how to speak words that are truly helpful? You know, we're encouraged and even admonished in the Bible that our speech, the words that we say, are supposed to be helpful. Ephesians 4:29 tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that the things that we say should build people up and encourage and help them, and not tear them down or lead them into sin. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Well, it was said of the Lord Jesus that He knew how to speak a word in season to those that were weary. That's what Isaiah tells us as he prophesies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the New Testament bears this out. For instance, in Luke 4, verse 22, it says that all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words, the words of grace that proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? But the things that Jesus said were words of grace, gracious words, helpful words, things that encourage and help other people. Matter of fact, I read in Luke 24, we read about the two on the Emmaus Road. As they were walking together and they were talking about the events that had transpired, how that Jesus had been crucified and buried, and it was the day of the resurrection, but they were still struggling to believe that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. And so as Jesus came along to walk beside them, and they didn't know it was Him, but He said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And so they told Him what they were talking about, and then He said to them this, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ or Messiah to have suffered these things and enter into His glory? And beginning in Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. You know, I've often thought, what would it have been like to be walking on that road that day and Jesus take the Old Testament scriptures and begin to just show you how this passage and this passage and this passage, those things are all about me, and I fulfilled all of them, and to cause them to understand all these Old Testament scriptures that foretold what His ministry would be, and even His suffering and His death and His resurrection. Matter of fact, the things that the apostles taught, they preached. You go through the book of Acts and the messages that the apostles preached, they were preaching the things that Jesus had taught them after his resurrection as he opened their minds and hearts to understand the Old Testament scriptures concerning himself. And they preached Christ, they preached the gospel from the Old Testament scriptures. But that day,
Jesus opened the scriptures unto them and caused them to understand the things that the Old Testament had said concerning him. Their response was later on, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Let me ask you, have you ever had a holy heartburn? You have in your devotions and all of a sudden the light goes on and you see a verse or a text of Scripture and you see a truth or you see it in a way you never have. And boy, you get all excited. Man, this is wonderful. This is great. And you get that holy heartburn. Your heart just rejoices in the things that God has shown you. And it was like that for them that day as the Lord opened the Word to him. And you know, those things ought to happen. It doesn't happen every day like that. Some days the Lord is just giving us truth that later on he'll put some things together and open our minds and hearts to see things in a way we never had before, and we get that holy heartburn. But those things ought to happen. Those times ought to happen more regularly as we read and study the Word of God, that God opens His Word to us and we see things and the light really does go on. But how was it that Jesus was able to speak such gracious words? How was it that Jesus was able to encourage people and edify people as he spoke to them? How was it that he was able to speak a word in season to him that was weary? Well, Isaiah tells us. You say, well, he was God. Yes, he was. But he was God come in the flesh. You know, the incarnation, the Christ, God coming and taking on himself human flesh, there's some mystery to that. Some things that the Bible tells us about that that we can't fully fathom, but they're true. There's some mystery to that. How did Jesus provide such encouraging and helpful words for others? And what I want to do tonight is show you from the Word of God how Christ did that. And also to encourage us, if we will do what He did, if we will follow that pattern, we can speak words that will provide help and encouragement to others. So how was it that Christ did that? Well, first of all, he learned what to say. Now, that's an interesting concept. He is God come in the flesh, and you're telling me he had to learn something? But he did. The Lord learned what to say. He learned, first of all, by listening to the Father. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. You know, the amazing thing is, and this is one of the mysteries of the incarnation, that as God came in flesh, as a man, Jesus had to learn. The Bible says in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That Jesus, though he was the one that created our human bodies, Jesus had to learn how to walk and he had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to add and subtract and all of those things that we go through in our growth process. Jesus had to learn all those things. I don't understand that. He's God. But yet, he did. He learned those things. As a man, Jesus learned the Bible. I mean, yes, he knew it. He's God. He wrote the Word of God. But as he has come in human flesh and as he veiled his deity in his humanity, that he learned the Word of God. I don't think Jesus had trouble with it like we do. I think as soon as he heard it, he learned it, and he picked up on it right away because it is God's Word, and he didn't have a mind and heart that was clouded by sin, but he had to learn the Word of God. One writer said that he learned as truly as we learn from God. And that's what Isaiah said. He has given me he wakened mine ear to hear as the learned. And so as a man, the Father taught Jesus what to say. He was given the tongue of the learned. And let me show you this in the Word of God. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of John, keep your finger there in Isaiah 50. But go to the book of John tonight for just a moment. John chapter 7, first of all. John chapter 7. In verse 14, it tells us about the midst of the feast. Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. The things, how is it that this man who's never had formal training could speak with such wisdom, could speak these wonderful words? Well, how could he do that? Because he got those words from the Father. In John 14 and verse 24, again, it tells us, He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And again in chapter 17 and verse 8, in what we often refer to as Jesus' high priestly prayer, he says to the Father, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. But he said, I gave them, Father, the words that you gave me, the words that Jesus spoke that were gracious words, that were helpful words, that were encouraging words, that caused people even to marvel. How is it this man can speak with such wisdom and such power and such grace in his words? How can he do that? Because he spoke the words that were given to him by his Father. And Isaiah tells us that Jesus learned from the Father day by day. That as he got up in the mornings and he had that time with the Father, as he got alone, as it tells us in Mark 1 verse 35, that rising up a great while before day, he went alone and got alone with his Father. That every day the Lord Jesus got alone with the Father and he spent time in fellowship with the Father. And the Father gave him direction for the day. And the Father gave him truth that he would share that day. And the Father taught him and gave him those things that he needed. He learned from the Father day by day. He wakeneth me, it says in Isaiah 54, morning by morning, he wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Again, someone said he exercised the same communion with the Father as we do. You know, it's an interesting thought that as we have our daily devotional time, that it's not just for our benefit. Yes, the first thing that ought to happen is that we get the blessing that God teaches us, that God imparts truth to us, that He gives direction for our lives and what He wants us to do. And He teaches us truth that we need to know so that we can grow. But many of the things that God gives us, even in our own personal devotional time, is not just for our benefit, but so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can share with them the things that God has shared with us. You know, as we have testimony time on Sunday nights, I would encourage you to think about maybe sharing something that you have gotten in your devotions as you've read God's Word during the week and the Lord has especially spoken to your heart. And then you have an opportunity to share that. And there may be some things you can't share, that they're just things that God has given you that you need to keep between you and God. But there are things that you can share that can be a blessing. You know, some of the greatest encouragements to us as believers is when we hear from other believers how God is working in their life and things that He has taught them. And it may be that as you share in that testimony time a blessing, a truth that God has given you, it may be just the thing that somebody else that's here that night needs to hear that'll bless them and help them. And it's that word of encouragement that they need. It's that word in their weariness that will encourage them and help them as they're struggling with something. You may not ever even know until eternity how your testimony helped and blessed somebody else. So consider even sharing in that testimony time things that God has shown you in your devotions. And you know, we can share through our personal conversations as we talk with one another and we fellowship together and just sharing things that God has given us in His Word, things that have been a blessing to us. And through those conversations, as we share the things that God has imparted to us, we can be a blessing to others. Or if you have the opportunity to teach as a Sunday school teacher or maybe in Awana or in other ways, there are opportunities to share the things that God has put on your heart. There was a missionary by the name of Jonathan Goforth went to China. He has been a great inspiration to me as I've read of his life. And over the years, we'll share many illustrations from his life, no doubt. But he was asked to preach a revival meeting in Manchuria. And as he was praying about that, he asked the Lord, he said, you know, what do I share with them? What do I preach as I go to preach these revival meetings? And He had been reading in his own personal devotions. He had been studying about the Holy Spirit, and the Lord had taught him many things about the Holy Spirit. He had read the scriptures where Jesus said, "Greater works will you do than I have done." And he looked at his own ministry and he said, "Lord, I'm not seeing those greater works." And he began to cry out to God for that. And through that, God opened his mind and heart to understand things about the Holy Spirit. And the Lord began to bless as he was more and more yielded to and dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And as he's praying, "What do I preach in Manchuria?" the Lord said, "Tell them what I told you." And he had had a Bible that he was using in his devotions, in his study about the Holy Spirit, and he had written notes in the margin. So as he went into Manchuria to preach revival meetings, he just preached the truths about the Holy Spirit that the Lord had imparted to him. And the Lord blessed, and there was great revival that broke out in Manchuria. But it was simply sharing with them, preaching to them the things that God had taught him. And so the Lord Jesus learned from the Father what to say, and he spoke the words that the Father had given him. He also learned how to be a blessing and a help to others by living his life. That as he went through difficult times, that he received encouragement. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16 are very familiar verses, but it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can come boldly to the throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, but we can obtain the mercy and the grace that we need because we have a high priest who understands what we're going through because he went through it. The only difference is he did it without sin. But he understands, he knows. He knows how to help us. He knows how to speak a word to him that is weary because he knows what it's like to go through those temptations and trials that we go through. And so the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, that in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or come to the aid of those that are tempted. He knows how to help us because he took upon himself human flesh and experienced the same things that we do. He just didn't have the sin nature to have to battle with in addition to that. But he knows, he understands. It's interesting, again, that the writer of Hebrews said that in the days of his flesh, when Christ had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard in that he feared, and even though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, and it's interesting to me that as you look in Isaiah 50, and we're looking at verse 4, but verse 4 is in the context, in a larger context, and beginning in verse 5, one of the things that the Father taught him, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and to my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. And I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." But it's interesting to me that it tells us that the Lord knew how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And in that same context, it tells us about the things that he suffered. That even in his suffering, he, as the writer of Hebrews says, he learned obedience. And he understood what it is as we go through things, trials and troubles in our life, that he knows how to help us because he has been there and he understands. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that we are comforted by God in order that we might comfort others with the same comfort that we have received from God. And let me encourage you tonight, if you're going through very difficult times, that one of the reasons that God is allowing you to go through those experiences is so that later on your life can be a greater blessing to others. And if you will walk with the Lord through those deep waters, those trying times, and let God minister to your heart through His Word, let God encourage you through the Scriptures. When you go through those experiences, get in the Word of God. You know, so often we struggle and we try and deal with it in our own strength, or we come up with our own answers instead of just crying out to God and getting in His Word and saying, Lord, I'm going through this difficult time and I don't know what to do and I don't know how to respond, and Lord, I need help. I need You to give me some truth that I can cling to, that will help me, that will encourage me, that will strengthen me in this challenging time that I face. And God will do that. But then as He gives that to you, and He encourages your heart, and He brings you through that difficulty, or sustains you through it, then somewhere down the road, the Lord will bring somebody else into your life who maybe is going through that same thing or a similar thing. And you'll be able to tell them, here's how the Lord blessed me. Here's how the Lord helped me. Here's how the Lord encouraged me. And you may not even refer to the things that you went through, but you can share with them nonetheless the truth that God gave you. And there's some comfort that we can't give until we have experienced it through our own suffering. I remember the illustration. I'm just trying to recall it from memory, but it was G. Campbell Morgan, who, there was a young man, a young preacher, and evidently he was really really gifted. And people were just marveling at this young preacher, and they asked G. Campbell Morgan what he thought of him. Morgan had heard him, and he said, well, he's a good preacher, but he hasn't been hurt. There's something missing in his preaching. He hasn't been hurt. And sometime later, he went back and he heard that young man again preach, and there was something different. And Morgan's response was, now he's been hurt. Because his preaching was more helpful because he had been through some difficult times himself. And some people seem to be especially gifted at helping others, at knowing just what to say. And often the reason is, and we may not even know what they've been through, but they've experienced some deep grief themselves. And they can be a blessing and help to others because they've been there. Jesus went through experiences of suffering and trials and dealing with various kinds of people. He just, all the things that we would experience, Christ experienced. And through that, He learned how to be a blessing to others, how to be a help to others. So He learned as He listened to the Father, and He learned as He lived His life. And He was able to be a blessing to others. But I want to note, secondly, that He limited what He said. It says in Isaiah that He had the tongue of the learned, a tongue that had been taught by the Lord, and He limited His words to what He had been taught. And let me be careful here that you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Jesus never said anything except things His Father had told Him, that He never had any conversations that weren't Bible. Jesus was a man. Jesus walked and talked with His disciples, and yes, He spent much time teaching them. And I guess we can't be dogmatic about this, but I don't believe Jesus never said anything else but just quoted Scripture all the time. And any time He opened His mouth, He was always quoting Scripture. I don't think that's true. I think He knew how to carry on a normal conversation, how to talk about the weather or those things, and often would use those things as springboards to teach spiritual truth. So when I say He limited what He said to the things that His Father had taught Him, I'm not saying He never had any other conversations. You know, one of the things that bothers me, I haven't seen this often, but from time to time in the past, maybe seeing a Hollywood portrayal of Christ, and of course, they always get it wrong, and we don't know what, you know, they always want to portray Christ, and He's always portrayed a certain way, and you know, it's interesting that we don't have no idea what Christ looked like. I like to read, and I especially like to read biographies, and one of the, early on in every biography I've ever read, there's a description, if the person lived before the days of pictures, there's always a physical description of that person, and if there's pictures, there's always pictures of them, and we're always interested to see that. And we have four Gospels that tell us about the life of Christ, and not one of them tells us what He looked like, because that's not important. He was God come in the flesh. And the important thing is His spiritual ministry. But you know, often as Hollywood would portray Him, they always portray Him as being very somber, never smiling, and always soft-spoken. And as if he just was constantly troubled. And, you know, I just can't believe that that's the way that Christ was. I mean, how can he teach us to be joyful and not exhibit joy himself? I think that Christ laughed. I think he smiled. I think he enjoyed life. Yes, there were difficulties and there were things that he faced that we never will face because he was God come in the flesh. But I think in every area of life that he was an example of how we ought to live our lives. But when it came to being a help to others, he spoke the words, again, that his Father had given him. And again, if you'll go back to the book of John for just a moment and note this. In John 8 and verse 28, he said, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak, what? These things. I speak the things that the Father has taught me. In John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, we read similar truth. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I might know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And Jesus gave to men the words that the Father had given to him, because his commandment is life everlasting. His word is that which our souls need. That when people are struggling and they're going through difficulties, they need this. They need the Word of God, and that's what sustains us. That's what helps us. That's what blesses us. That which is what nourishes us spiritually. In John 6, 57, it says, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And it says in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Why were they spirit and life? Because they were the words of the Father. And if we want to be a blessing and a help to others, we need to give them the Word of God, because it's that which will meet the need of their soul. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us into glory and virtue. God has given us everything that we need for this life in His Word. And so we need the Word. And we need to give the Word to others, because it is that which will bless their heart. Sometimes we sing the hymn, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty which teach me faith and duty. The Bible is the wonderful words of life. It's not our ideas. It's not our opinions. It's not the philosophies of the world that provide the help that is needed, that provides the comfort that is needed. Jesus gave them the Word of God, and that's what we need to give. In Proverbs 15:23, it says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? In Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Jesus' words were well received, and they were truly helpful because he spoke the words that he had learned from the Father. And if we want to be a blessing and a help to others, we need to give to others the Word of God, and especially imparting to them the things that God has taught us. And may we, like the Lord Jesus, spend that time every morning, waking up morning by morning and spending time in communion with our Father, and learning from Him, and allowing His Word to teach us, and to guide us, and to comfort us, and to help us. And then as He provides those opportunities, sharing those words of comfort with others, because those are the gracious words, those are the helpful words that can be a blessing to others. And that's the way that we can know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. We thank You for the blessed communion that we can enjoy with You day in and day out as we spend time in Your Word and as Your Holy Spirit opens that truth to us and teaches us. Lord, we thank You for those times that light goes on and we see truth in a way that we've never seen it before. We have understanding that we never had before. Lord, we love You and we just appreciate so much all that You do for us. Thank You for the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary that provided our salvation, that provides eternal life and the blessings that we enjoy in this life. And Father, we do pray that You would comfort us in our time of need. And that, Lord, help us to be a blessing to others by sharing with them the truths of Your Word that You've imparted to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how's your voice this evening? I was thinking about this, and 395 is the hymn, "Make Me a Blessing." But you gotta, it gets up there. So, Rob, I hope you're ready to sing. But I was just thinking about this. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. And that last verse says, give as